So, right now we are down, countdown to the last few months of this period before this extension evaporates. I'm going to repeat one piece that I've been beating the drum on, which started in December of 2010, when this whole exemption came into play. And it was a period when President Obama had gotten jammed after the Republicans had taken over the House, and he decided to negotiate with the Republicans to extend the Bush tax credit, and had no assistance with the Democrats. And at that time, the Republicans knew they had leverage, and so indicated to him that it would not be that simple to just extend the Bush tax credits. And so at that time, he had to negotiate a lifting of the exemption amount, which was scheduled to go back to $1 million, up to $5 million, which in itself posed a problem for him. But he took solace in the fact that he only had 2 years that he had to allow this $5 million exemption to remain. But the problem was that we believe in our own little fantasy as to what occurred here was that the Republicans said, oh, one more thing, Mr. President, we'd like to be able to give away $5 million as well as have the exemption for people when they die. And of course, Mr. President, if our taxpayers give it away during their lifetime, they won't have it when they die. And so Obama agrees, not maybe quite sure what the consequences were, until he gets back to the Democrats, who then say he indicates that he had to negotiate this, that he didn't want the Democrats involved. They tell him, you will not believe the consequences of what you've done, but now what was never more than $1 million that you could give away, the super wealthy and even the merely affluent, Mr. President, can give away up to $5 million, and they've never been able to give away more than $1 million. When word got out, we were one of the first to hit the papers. We were in the Journal, we were in Forbes, and I believe we were in the Times, saying that this was a great, wonderful opportunity. And soon after, we were not the only ones, of course, but soon after it was hitting the press like crazy, and then it was early in the new year that President Obama said, you know, look, I got jammed by the Republicans. This tax relief is largely to benefit the wealthy and what they've requested, and my first opportunity to eliminate this, I'm going to do so. And when I garner political capital and when the economy turns. In fact, at the end of last year, when he appointed the Senate Super Committee, there was real risk that we thought that this $5 million gift exemption would evaporate. That did not happen. What we have found, though, for many of you who are on this call just as a review for the work that you've done, is that this has been the golden age. Why? Because you've had an opportunity to give assets away in larger amounts, in protected amounts, and in flexible vehicles than maybe you've ever been able to do prior to this time. For years leading up to January 1, 2011, and this period ending this year, leading up to that period, before that time, many of you had asked about and many have employed the opportunity to move $1 million off your balance sheet. But back then, the strategy was just take $1 million, put it in trust, name your children as beneficiaries, invest it for them. You could borrow from the trust if you wanted, but you effectively thought, look, I'm going to give this asset away, and I'm never going to see it again. For $1 million, that was an acceptable amount, and you were okay with that. What changed was when we got to the $5 million exemption amount, many clients, many of you had said, look, I'm willing to seize this opportunity. I believe that this is a special short-term opportunity. I believe the window will close. I'm not sure when. I'm willing to give more money away, but Mr. McManus and team, I believe that the most important piece is that I need to have access. And it was at that point, through necessity being the mother of invention, we worked very hard, and we were not alone. Our colleagues nationwide working at the highest level with the most sophisticated advisors and bankers created a trust where one spouse would leave the create the trust for the benefit of the children, but would allow the spouse having access. So if I create the trust, my wife Rosemary would be a beneficiary. It would be deemed to be a gift down to my children, but my wife would have the right to borrow from that trust, receive distributions from that trust. So I then am more inclined to give more money into the trust because I know that my wife has access. The result was that it was selling itself. And month after month, at any given point here, we have dozens of clients who are either in the middle of preparing these trusts or completing them. And the numbers are just staggering on how many clients we believe are going to be fortunate to move assets out of their name into trust for the benefit of their children, but still maintaining access to the assets while they're alive. So is this the golden age? Well, it's the golden age if December 31st, the exemption evaporates. If the exemption does not evaporate, it is scheduled to evaporate, and the only way that it cannot evaporate is through an act of Congress. We believe that Congress will not get their act together because there's too many issues at hand between now and December 31st. We believe it will go back to $1 million exemption in the new year, and then it will take an act of Congress in the new year to address it at that point. And we'll talk more about where that risk is. So we believe it's the golden age, and that golden age will continue until this $5 million exemption ends. January 1, 2013, what happens? The exemption amount for the amount you can gift goes back to $1 million. The tax rate goes back to 55%. Right now it is 35%. And so you can see that there is a significant bump up north of 60% on that rate, in addition to the fact that the exemption goes from 5 down to 1. So what are the future benefits? Well, it's not just, and I'm now on point number 3 of my checklist, and we've done some revisions because there's been some new news. We'll email that to each of you after the seminar, this call, and is over. The future benefits. What about projected appreciation? So the golden age doesn't just address that we're able to give assets away. The thing that many of you have found that is most compelling is that you can give away depreciated assets. Many of you know your beach houses, your country homes, mountain homes, etc., are at some of their lowest values. And giving those away today means that not only is the asset given away and that you have seize this gifting opportunity, but also the future growth. So even if we look at so many of our clients who purchased properties in the early 90s, they saw a double in the value of those properties from the early 90s till the early 2000s. That's including the retreating in the market. As basic as a client that spent $200,000 in 1992, that property is worth $450,000 in 2012, even with the retreat. Clients of ours who spent $1 million in 1992, we're seeing every bit of that, it's worth $2 million. So if we have homes today that are $2 or $3 million or $5 million that people are giving away in this depreciated market, we're seeing those could be a double in the next 20-plus years. Not projecting, just taking that piece. The second piece that's critical here is that it is not just free from federal tax. It is also free from state estate tax. So most states, with the exception of Connecticut, more on that in a minute, have no limitation on how much you can give away. Why? Because they've always counted on the feds to set the rule. And so whatever the feds set it for, if it was $1 million or $2 million, the state said, we're fine with you giving away that amount of money, and there'll be no tax on that piece. But the issue here is when you move that asset off your balance sheet, you're also saving state estate tax. So if you take $5 million and you move it off your balance sheet, and the $5 million exemption never changes. It continues to remain there. When you pass away, for example, if you're in the state of New York, you'll have $1 million free, and then you will have $4 million that will be subject to state estate tax. So what are the rates? So point number five on our checklist here is New Jersey runs between 8 and 12% on average, with a top rate of 16% for assets over $10 million. New York is 3.5 to 12.5% for estates up to $15 million, and then it goes up from there. Connecticut is $2 million free, and then it is a 7% rate on any 7.2% rate, and then 12% for anything over $10 million. So the point here is that by moving these assets off your balance sheet, you are also avoiding state estate tax. Many of our clients, when there was an elderly parent, many of you have had an elderly parent, and the exemption was only $1 million, we would find as part of, for lack of a more crude term, a deathbed transaction where up to $1 million would be moved off the balance sheet, no tax on the federal level because that's where the exemption was, but we also avoided $1 million of estate tax on the state level. So there's always been this notion of giving to Caesar what is Caesar's, which is the state estate tax rates are not insignificant. When we're working with a client, for example, with $10 million, they come, each of you have said, you know, been shocked and say, and what do you mean I'm going to be paying, you know, $1.2 million in state estate tax? So utilizing these exemption amounts for the state level has not been without real advantage. So what type of trusts are we seeing clients use? And I want to get to that, but I want to address one key piece here, which is up to now there have been no gift limitations on how much you can give away. But Connecticut is one state in the nation that has changed that rule. They've said, we're on to this game, and we will only allow $2 million to pass without there being a gift tax. Only state currently in the nation that allows for that, but we think that they could set a trend here. So if you're giving away $5 million in New Jersey or New York or Pennsylvania, no federal tax, no state tax. If you give away $5 million in Connecticut, no tax for the first $2 million, but then you will pay tax to the tune of a few hundred thousand dollars to the state of Connecticut for any amounts over that amount. We have found that our clients have been mixed in their strategies. Some have said, then just stop me out at $2 million. I don't want to pay any gift tax. Others have said, I see this as so compelling, I'll give the money up to the five, and I'll pay the state estate tax because I believe that there is a greater value here to getting the $5 million off my balance sheet and focusing on the federal tax. Either way, though, we must be sensitive that Connecticut, which has always been more generous to the wealthy than states like New York and New Jersey, in fact, their exemption is still $2 million, which is double what New York and New Jersey is, Connecticut is still saying we're going to charge you tax, and it could come down the line for us in these other states as well. What does that mean? It means for each of you that if you're considering on making more gifts, and even if the federal exemption stays at five, there is risk that these other states will say we're going to stop you out at $1 million, $675 for New Jersey, some number, and say that you cannot give more than that without paying state estate tax. So, compelling reason to race to the finish line before this year ends, number one, for the federal. But even if, for some reason, the federal exemption remains unchanged because of an act of Congress next year, then number two is that you still may find yourself subject to state estate tax. Okay. So, for those of you who gave up to $1 million before this $5 million exemption change in this, quote, golden age in the past 18 months, you were quick to say, look, just put it in trust, give it to my children, allow them to have access to it when we decide. We'll continue to maintain control, some control over the trust within the laws that the code allow us. We'll even be able to borrow, but that's good. The second piece we found was that once we went to the $5 million, that type of trust was not good enough. Clients said, no more do I want to give $1 million. Maybe I'll give the beach house, et cetera, but I want my spouse to have access to it. So number one is the new trust, since this new era, are spousal access for sure. Number two is that we're also allowing the spouse the right to choose among a class of beneficiaries. So if I leave to Rose the assets in trust and perish the thought, but Rose gets sick, and now we feel that the kids should not have the money because they're next in line, Rose does have the opportunity, number one, to leave those assets back, potentially back to me. We can't name me specifically. We have to be much more artful in our drafting. We have seen studies on this, and we have drafted to the trust to allow for Rose to do that without not directly stating it in the trust, number one. Number two is that I will still always be able to borrow from the trust. So if the money passed down to my three children, I could borrow from the trust right at that point, keep the money parked in my account, let the interest accrue, potentially remain unpaid. Some practitioners say you should pay the nominal interest every year while you keep the money. But then when I pass away, the first thing that would happen would be I would pay the trust back that money. And that would be a tax-free transfer because I owed it back to the trust, and that would avoid any tax on that piece. The third strategy that we think is valuable is that we're telling our clients and you guys to consider having life insurance. So if Rose has $1, $2, $3, $4, $5 million of life insurance on her life, of course it would be in a trust. On her death, if now the money is passed down in trust to the children, I will then receive the proceeds of that trust for my lifetime. I can spend it as I need to, presuming I have other assets to live from. And then when I die, the insurance proceeds will pass down to the children free of tax. It is a very common good strategy where, for example, clients have said, you guys have said, I want to take my home and I want to put it in the trust. And so my wife will receive it in trust, but then if she dies first, I want to have some liquidity event. The other strategy that we're seeing clients do is I may say to Rose, listen, I am very heavily insured now. You all know how much I believe in insurance as a critical part of any estate plan and even the whole life coverage as a phenomenal product for a equivalent to a bond portfolio but still giving you the death benefit. So presume for the moment that my coverage names Rose, which it does. I would consider having the assets put in Rose's name, have her create the trust, naming me as the trustee and beneficiary. I will use it and enjoy it between the two of us while I'm alive. If I die, Rose gets the large injection of insurance that I have put in place long before this trust was in place. Many of you have said, I will create this trust if only because I want to move $1 million off my balance sheet. I don't care that the arbitrage play is moving up to $5 million. Just put $1 million. Take our country home and put that in. Take $1 million of my ownership interest in a business, put that into trust. Just take advantage of this because of the fact that assets are depreciated now and the growth will be off our balance sheet. Number eight, what about asset protection? For years, clients would say, look, I'm in a high-risk profession, or during the depths of the recession, our clients at the major investment houses said, we believe that by some act of the president, our bonuses may be forced to be disgorged back. We are concerned about moving money off our balance sheet. We're worried that if we just put it in our wife's name, perish the thought, if she passes away, it could pass to the kids, or if we divorce, I would lose that asset. And so they've always been concerned about creating some kind of vehicle. The problem is with many of the vehicles, it requires that you make a completed gift. We do make gifts when they're not completed in certain instances, but a completed gift means that it is fully off your balance sheet for both tax purposes and asset protection. So years ago, we had a client that had many Burger Kings and said, look, we're succeeding very well here, but what happens if mad cow disease takes over? I want to put a slug of money into trust that's asset protected. He was concerned about the limitations on gifting because he only had $1 million. So we have found many of our clients say, look, I can put several million dollars in trust. I can name my spouse as a trustee, or I can set up in a place like Delaware, which, by the way, you know, from our relationships at the large trust companies in Delaware, they cannot get the work done. They are so backed up with people that are creating trusts right now, trying to seize this opportunity. But the value here is now with this $5 million exemption, you can give away more than just a $1 million limitation. And we think it's a critical piece. In other instances, we've had clients who are on second. Many of you have told us about situations where you've known, or we've had a client that's been in a second marriage, and you've said, look, you know, we've never signed a prenuptial agreement with my new spouse. You've explained to me that my new spouse has the right of election on the assets that we've had here. My spouse and I agree because there's a trusting relationship that today I want to move $3 or $4 million or $5 million in trust to my children from my first marriage, knowing and my new husband know that these assets cannot be taken by my new husband on my death through the right of election, through his right to invade my estate. So we're seeing this $5 million exemption as another creative way to do planning and to protect children from the first marriage, to protect clients who are concerned about high-risk positions in life, and this trust is giving them that flexibility. So do we favor institutional trustees? Do we favor setting up the trust in Delaware? What are our thoughts on this piece? A key critical piece here is that we do favor the institutional protection. We believe that the typical asset-protected states like Delaware, South Dakota, Alaska, which we used for years, and Nevada are the classics. But in the recent past year, we have felt that there has been some additional strength coming to Delaware. Why? Because there have been some attacks in other states against breaking trust, and those trusts have been reviewed by the courts in those states, but they have been overturned by more sophisticated federal judges who have found that what they've relied on in those states has been incomplete. Delaware has never had this problem. They have had trust protection for generations, and the lawyers are onto the game, the judges are onto the game. It may be a state that's closer to us all than maybe something that a creditor would feel more comfortable going to, but we believe that the judges and the courts have been more tested and greater likelihood to prevail. So that has been our recent view. What about clients of ours who are creating trust and naming their spouse as their own trustee? We don't believe it's a bad choice. What we favor, though, is the ability to move to Delaware or to have Delaware as a co-trustee with the spouse. A key piece that may make the distinction in the event that there is an attack against the trust. Okay, number 9, planning limitations. After the gift is made, are there any additional strategies? Well, for those of you who are only putting $1 million in, or $2 million, or $3 million, if the exemption returns to $5 million sometime next year through this act of Congress, then the additional planning opportunity is that you can fund the trust up to the $5 million. That we know you can do. Only, though, if the exemption goes. A little foreshadowing, but Obama has said he'll reduce the death exemption to 3.5, and he will reduce the gift exemption to $1 million. So we know that if he gets back into office, that's what his plan would be. So you will not have that opportunity to do any additional planning with additional gifts into the trust. But what many of you have said, and it's important to know, that this could be the most aggressive portion of your portfolio. So, number one, if you've chosen depreciated assets, they're likely to grow. So all of that will grow outside the compound wall, number one. Number two is that many of you have used this opportunity immediately, but there's no reason why others can't do it in the future. Use the assets inside the trust to purchase additional assets in the family. So if you had, for easy math, $5 million inside this trust, and you had a $50 million business, you could use the $5 million as a liquidity need to enter into a purchase of a significant portion of that $50 million business. Usually 1 in 10 is the fact. You need 10% of assets in trust to make the purchase. Then those assets from the company are bought at a discount. They go into the trust. The income from those assets is used to pay off the original seller, which is the family. So there are, for sure, wonderful opportunities. We've also been with several private equity and hedge fund investors to say when we had $1 million opportunity to put it in the trust, we were not moved by that. But $2, $3, $4, $5 million in trust, we have many more opportunities to purchase private equity or hedge fund interest, and we believe we can take 5 and convert it to $15 or $20 million through compounding. And, all, and of course, the trust doesn't pay tax. The grantors pay the tax. So there is really an opportunity for explosion for the larger estates with the $5 million amounts. Okay. What does President Obama say? We're on number 10. This is a key piece here. Obama, we just talked about, says if he gets in, $3.5 million on the federal level, $1 million on the gift tax exemption. The top rate would be 45%, so pretty close to 50. What happens if Romney gets in? Romney has been clear, and he's following party lines, that there would be no estate and gift tax. We expect him to take the party line, but there are a couple. There are three things that tell us that we need to be careful. Okay, number one is that Romney is not a classic conservative Republican. He needs the votes, and he's there staying the party line. He comes from one of the most liberal states in the nation. As a Republican, he could not be too conservative. Number two, he is in a period of mounting deficits, and there is a huge freight train of debt that we have to pay that's coming down the track. It is essential to realize that someone must address this piece as the economy starts to turn. Even the first George Bush in 1998, in his speech before the Republican National Committee during the period of running for office, said, read my lips, no new taxes. It was less than 24 months before he had to eat those words. We will not see Romney make that same tactical error. So we're not sure where Romney lies, but we can be sure that it is not confirmed that if he becomes president that there will be no estate tax. It's 12:30. We have one additional bonus. What can you fund the trust with? This is number 11. You'll get this in your checklist. Clients of ours are rushing to get assets into trust. They may not be able to get their asset of choice by year end. And last year, when there was the panic that the exemption was going to end, we had clients that just funded the trust with cash or the residential real estate. The comfort you can all take, and those of you who have already done it, have funded it with your assets, but then you've swapped out more conservative assets that we can get a discount on or we think are going to grow, greater appreciation, quote, you know, outside the compound wall. So you just need to use a place marker with assets into the trust. Very, very important piece before year end, particularly because if, for example, we use mine, which if I want to be the beneficiary of the trust, Rosemary, my wife is going to give those assets to me, I need to first give them to her, and that takes a period of time, both that transfer, and they must sit with her for a period of time to avoid what the IRS calls the step transaction. So that strategy requires that we need several months to complete that piece, and we're bumping up against deadlines by the end of the year. We will be closed in the last 2 weeks of December, and the good news is that we will have, you know, anybody who has wanted to has already either completed the work or is heavily into consideration for doing this, so I'm not worried. But you don't want to put yourself in that position. Many clients are also buying life insurance policies with the assets that are inside the trust to supercharge them. So I cannot emphasize enough that is another great opportunity to leverage the $5 million exemption by either moving existing coverage into trust, but certainly looking to purchase a large policy, either a single pay or a multi-pay, and putting that into the trust to provide an additional amount of leverage. Okay. I want to just was handed this piece. You'll receive this in the mail, and I want to thank you because it's because of you all. The American Lawyer, which is a national magazine for lawyers who practice on what we hope to think are the high level, has honored us as being in the class of 2012 top-rated lawyers in their annual guide because of our AV rating from our peers. And there's a nice feature of us with a picture of the firm and the work that we have been doing, including our 10-step wealth and family values protection process, which is what we're doing now. This is part of that 10-step piece. We also, to follow through, Inside New Jersey's, the Newark Star Ledger's magazine, Best of New Jersey, also included us as a top trust and estates firm in the New York metropolitan area. And then last, as if the awards only come out during the summer when the writers have less to do, we have just been nominated as the top asset protection firm from an international magazine that focuses on business in the New York metropolitan area. So we'll send these out to you. I still continue to be driven as the rest of the team here to serve you.